say interview with Jack Carman, June 7th, 1979. Why don't we start with just you? Tell me where your folks came from, what you know about why they came, if you do, anything like that.
Well, my folks came from Billing, Missouri, out of Springfield, Missouri, a little ways, and my dad used to buy cattle in the early day and down in the Indian Territory and shipped them on a train back to St. Louis, and he got acquainted in this country. Finally, he moved down, moved his family down. And he had five children, and yeah, he just had one child then, and the rest of us were born here in Bristow.
I've noticed there were several people from Bristow who came, their families came from Billings, Missouri. Was there any connection that you know of?
Well, that was the first one to come down, and he got trading with the Indians, you know, and got acquainted, and got to make a good bit of money for one reason, and in the cattle business, of course, and buying land. And then it wasn't very long after that the oil boom came, and that's when the thing did start happening. And Dad organized the Billings Oil Company. So many people were down here from Billings, and they sold stock and everything. I think they made a little money, but not a whole lot on that.
Well, when were you born?
1905.
All right. What were some of your early memories about your childhood? Anything special, you know? What do you remember about Bristow and what life was like, what you did?
Dad had the Model T Ford 8 here in Bristow during the boom, and I was about 12, 13, and I learned how to drive one of those Model T pretty early in life, and every time he sold one to a farmer, why, I'd have to teach him how to drive. You know, he never had driven a horse, hardly ridden in a car, and that was quite an experience for me.
You went to school here.
Yeah, and graduated and went to OU and graduated there and coached a couple of years and decided I didn't want any more of that, so I came home and started farming and bulldozing and a little bit of everything.
What were the schools like when you went to school in Bristow?
Well, my dad was superintendent was good friends, so that put me in a different category from the rest of them. And the schoolhouse I went to school in was been torn down. That's the one right across from the gymnasium now. It's a rock school. Several pictures of it around town here. One little instance, Mr. Hutton was the superintendent then, and it was two-story, and they had a nice slick railing, you know, from the first story to the bottom story, I mean, street level, and we had the bell would ring with the school turn out while we'd all slide, boys would slide down that railing, you know, and the superintendent didn't like that very well, so he just drove some nails, two or three of them in the railing, just high enough to catch your britches, not your skin, and that stopped the slide.
You mentioned the oil boom. When you think of the boom, what years do you mean?
Well, I don't know exactly, but it was about 23 or something.
Right.
And that's way back there. And I was born 1905. But it had two or three, you know, after that. But that was the first one, anyway.
What do you remember about the town of Bristow as the boom hit? Do you remember any changes?
Yeah, there used to to have dirt streets mostly when the, I think when the boom hit. I remember there were dirt streets and they had wooden sidewalks, I call it, along in front of the store building. And it's pretty heavy that you can step on the outside of those boards. It's about 4 foot wide in front of the building, while the other end fly up, you know. So.
Well, do you remember the cotton days and all the wagons in the street?
Yeah, we had a lot of fun playing on the wagon as it came in town.
Did you have any jobs as a, well, high school teenager? Did you work around town at all?
I worked plenty of it for my dad.
Okay.
and
the Ford agency mainly?
Well, I just said it. Kind of a small kid, and when they'd get a carload of Model T's in the train, why, they had the body off of them and the chassis, you know, all in the same boxcar. And my job was to put the chassis on the, I mean, put the body on the chassis and bolt it down, you know, so they'd go together. And of course, I had two or three school kids that helped me, and one day, the farmer brought a car in there. Mr. said, "Mr. Carman, this seems like his sheep trying to get away from the chassis." You know, and Dad looked around a little on it, found out I didn't put the body bolts in to connect it, you know, on. He was just sitting on there. And that was the last time I had any school kids to help me. I had to do it by myself.
After you got out of college, what kind of business did you go into?
Well, like I said, I coached 2 years over at Poto, and that was starting depression. And I got married that year and graduated, and let's see, what else did I?
New car.
Yeah, I had the first new car, and I was really on top until I found out I didn't like coaching too well.
Did you, when you were a child, What kind of things did kids do? Horseback riding, or what was the fun part of life when you were a kid?
Well, that's a hard question.
Any Halloween pranks?
Oh that was one pastime with Halloween. You know, they all had outhouses, and we'd go shove them over. Then they modernized the outhouse, you know, and put the water system in it, and in the outhouse. And it's a little harder to push over then without plumbing in there.
Did you you remember the 4th of July picnics in Frisco?
Well, they had one every year. I don't know if it...
Well, that's what I mean. I just heard that was an annual affair, and I wondered what one was like. Where did it...
Well, most of what I remember about it was that they had a lot of banners, you know, this red, white, and blue flag-like all decorated in the bandstand and in front of the stores and plenty of firecrackers. Had a lot of time for free ice cream.
Did Bristow seem crowded to you during the oil boom?
Yeah, it was crowded. About 25,000-30,000 people here, compared with 5 or 6 they got now. And counting the cotton wagon, that's about the only.
Was it a typical oil town in the sense that there was fights and gambling or whatever?
Yeah, money changed hands pretty freely, and fortunes was made and lost overnight, or gambling, you know.
There's a former marshal I've only heard about, an Uncle Billy.
Billy Freshire.
And, what can you tell me about him?
Well, he was short with his large stomach, and he's daring, and I don't think anybody's afraid of him. He wasn't afraid of anybody, I know. And let's see, he lived to be pretty old to be a sheriff, and they had the jail was down about where... down the grocery.
Sides? Was it Democrats versus Republicans, or were there factions in town? How would you describe the politics?
I never did take part. My dad was Republican, of course. I was too, and all those kids. I don't know. My dad didn't take much part in politics, but my mother's brother did, my older brother, and he got beat too. So.
Who would you say ran the town?
Who ran the town?
Who ran the town?
Oh, Bart Schrader was mayor two or three times here, and he was the...
Town commissioner.
Who?
Town commissioner.
Oh, Jimmy Weaver, yeah.
Jimmy Weaver
and... I don't know much about.
What about World War II? Any particular effects on Bristow that you recall?
Well, it didn't affect me too much. I was too old for World War II, and I wasn't old enough for World War I, so I came in between there, and none of my family luckily didn't have to go. Of course, I didn't. I had my cows, and I still kept farming them. And I did 1A naturally.
They had a big pine pole at the corner of 7th and Main.
At Armistice Day, everybody got their guns up and shooting, celebrating. And some bad accident, they shot the rope from the flagpole, and they thought there was a there was a traitor there in the crowd. Flag down.
Well, have there been any particularly amusing things that have happened in Bristow over the years, or exciting things that you happen to see? Were you involved in any of those bank robberies, or anything like that?
I saw one bank robber. I saw him come out of shooting. I don't know what bank it was, but I just happened to be going down the street, I saw this little boy come out, and somebody had gotten up on the building across the street to shoot at this bank robber, and I saw where the brick, shell went in the building, and the brick.
When you think of Bristow, do you think of it now, this many years later? Do you think of it mainly as a farming area, cattle raising, or what?
Well, I had a little part in all of it, I think, pretty well around the town and make a living if you work at it, you know.
You told a story earlier that talking about the Ku Klux Klan. Do you remember there being a Klan here in Bristow?
I don't know whether it's in here or not, but I remember reading, you know, all over the country about it, and this and that.
How do you feel the relationship between the races has been in Bristow? Has there been any problem?
No, I remember that one up Tulsa. They had a big riot up there, you know. People from here went up there with guns. I remember that. And
how do you feel that the relationship between Indians and
we
whites
had
has
trouble
been?
There. They seemed to, you know, they wouldn't wear work middle, but they did get along and didn't get in much trouble. They liked liquor like all other Indians. But
where'd the liquor come from in Bristow?
Huh?
Where did the liquor come from in Bristow?
Oh, moonshine mostly, and made out in the country. One instance is when I was out on the farm, this fellow came up and said, "Say, you making whiskey over on the backside of your place?" I said, "Hell no." And he said, "Well, you got a still running over there." And I said, "Well, hell, let's go over and look at it." And there was a, it went over there on the backside, wasn't it a mile, you know, where it lived. And there was an old copper boiler, and actually with fire under it, right, you know, in operation, you know, and had two or three 50-gallon barrel, you know, wooden barrel sitting around, and of course nobody there that heard us coming up, I guess. And Lord, before there was to have a chance to move it still, I had a team wagon those days, and took it over there and hauled the mash home and fed it to the hogs, and I had the copper to sell for, and I had a little spring over there. That's how I come to some town fellow met it, and I didn't find out how it got there, or who it was.
Who were some of the major landowners around Bristow?
Oh, the Kellys has been some of the first. My dad, of course, being that early, all you had to have was a bottle of liquor and a deed, and you'd get you'd buy land pretty cheap. And then the court had to approve all Indian deals, of course.
You think there was a good bit of that done?
Yeah, there's some of it, but more crew work on the leasing and all that. The oil business was just trading land, you know.
Yeah. I know what I wanted to ask you about this Lake Heyburn.
Who?
Lake Heyburn or Heyburn Lake out
Heyburn
here.
Heyburn Lake, yeah.
I judge there was some controversy about the building of that.
It was on my part.
Well,
yeah,
tell me about it. Tell me about it. I don't know anything about the story.
Well, Rick Kirshner and I bid on the clearing of the lake, you know, getting the brush off of it. And first job we ever had, that large and that kind of a job. And we started the clearing on it, $120,000 job, and about three-fourths done, you know, and the inspecting was good up to that date, and a big flood came and washed all a lot of trees, you know, down in what we had already cleaned up, and the government made us to go back and clean what we had cleaned up and okayed. And we figured that it was the acts of God, and we weren't liable for that, you know, getting all the flood water down on us. We'd like to wash the paper dam out anyway, but we sued the government, but we didn't do any good, and we just about broke even on the deal, so that was lucky that we had.
I take it that sports were pretty big in Bristow in your high school days. Is that sports, athletics?
Oh, yeah. Because of the oil boom, mostly. You know, the men had the money, and they wanted to bet on the team, and they wanted Bristow to win. And if we had a weak spot on the team, well, we'd, the coach or somebody would hire this kid dad a job here, and he would be living in Bristow, legal to play on the Bristow team. So it was several of those pictures there as the boy had been moved in, you know, from we played for the state championship at Oklahoma City, and Norman, against Norman, and we had a special train left to Bristow and went to the city, four or five cars on it, and that was, I wasn't on it, but they say that was pretty rough, and plenty of liquor and drinking going on, and we had five cars to fill. That's a little deal. You better turn it off. Norman football game, we lost, but we come to find out that the referee did have money on the game. And one instant, Myrna Lyons ran out of, claimed to run out of bounds, and the umpire overruled that. Then they said, well, he was holding back up the way of somebody, Bristow. And they did.
You mentioned, speaking of trips, you mentioned earlier that you used to go to Colorado in the summers. Where did people from Bristow go for vacations? Was Colorado?
Well, Joe Abraham had a big family, and he did about like my dad. He'd go out there and rent one of those houses, you know, and they had a big family, and just dad just lay around there and enjoyed the cool nights and rest up. And this kid was kind of on her own. I sold newspapers and did a little guiding, and you know, all a lot of people wanted the kid to show them where this sightseeing tour was.
Did you go to Siloam Springs at all?
Just drove over there for, you know, weekend or day.
Were your business connections in Bristow through Tulsa or through Oklahoma City or Kansas City or where?
Mostly Oklahoma City. Sold my cattle down on Oklahoma City Market, and I borrowed my money at the school land at the Capitol, and went to school at Norman, so that put me in down Oklahoma City more than would have Tulsa.
Let me ask you, what are some of the houses or buildings still standing that you remember as being some of the oldest?
First, right here on West 6th Street, Dr. Schrader had this kind of nice house right here next to the park.
Any others?
And
Bill Cheatham House on 11th.
Joe Abraham has this large brick house on 8th Street, still standing. One of the daughters lives in there yet. And
what about downtown? Are there any of the buildings that are the original old ones?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. Of course, a lot of them burned. A lot of them tore down. My dad had the first brick building in Bristow, and he made the brick out here on East 8th Street. There's a little creek out there. It had the water and the right kind of sand or brick material. And they had an old mule, something like, you know, Swede and sorghum. They put this mixture in his box, and the mule would turn it to mix the mortar or to make the brick with. And they had a mold that's where they make it, and they had to fire them, they call it, you know, heat them to make the brick where they stand up with the weather. And he made the brick for his first brick building. And when they tore it down about 2 or 3 years ago, I saved a lot of the brick, some of the brick. So you got the T deteriorating, the brick, and the whoever who owned it then plastered it, you know, plastered over it. And then that got deteriorating, so they put a new brick wall on the outside of it, and all this old was still in there. Then when the Community State Bank, that corner, when they decided to build a new Community State Bank, where they had to tear all the inside brick out of it as well as the new outside.
This is Mrs. Jack Carman.
The first hospital that I ever remember is down here on North Main, next door north of the Masonic Temple. It's still standing. It's an apartment house now. And Mrs. Albert Kelly, Sr., had charge of it. That was before she married Mr. Kelly. And, of course, the doctors all had offices upstairs downtown in the office in the building over the stores downtown. See, my father had an office in the same building with Dr. King and Dr. Strader.
Well, tell me about your family. Who was your father and where did he come from?
My family came from Tennessee, and the day we landed in Bristol, I was 6 months old, and he had just graduated from medical school in Tennessee and had taken a trip out in Oklahoma, down in the southern part of the state, way down in the south part of the state, to find a location, and he didn't like what he had seen in the south, and he started back home on the train and met a drug salesman. And he told him that there was a little settlement, Newby, 10 miles south of Bristol here, that badly needed a doctor. So he went down and he liked it. So he went back to Tennessee and brought a family out. And we lived in Newby about 4 years.
Drove a horse and buggy.
Oh, yes. Drove a horse and buggy. And then we came to Bristol before I was 6 years old. And we've been here ever since.
What are some of your memories of Bristol as a child?
Well, I can remember how rough it was during the oil boom.
Rough how?
Well, women just couldn't go out on the streets alone. We lived at that time over on East 7th Street, and right down there where Wells' grocery store is was a livery stable. Out on that main street, right across from where Johnny Roberts now lives, was a livery stable. And I remember how carefully we used to have to walk by there because it was a pretty rough place. It was a dirty place, of course. But women didn't go out at night without someone being with them because it was pretty rough for them. I can remember the terrible flu epidemic we had during World War I, how my father worked night and day, and how we'd beg him to stop, but no, he was needed. But that was a terrible thing. I can remember that. That blew up again.
What other things stick in your mind about growing up in Bristow?
Well, I think it's been a marvelous place. It's been just small enough that it was close. And big enough, we had Chautauqua. You remember the Chautauqua and the Lyceum courses? We had those. In the summertime, they were up here on this, about where the library stands now, along in there. You remember that, Jack? The Chautauqua? And we were close enough even to Tulsa and Oklahoma City. Anything big that went on, we'd take the train, go to the city, or Tulsa. And when Billy Sunday was in Oklahoma City, the big evangelist, well, we all went down to hear Billy Sunday. But I think it's been a fine place.
We've still been doing that. We went down to the farm and see Lawrence Wells.
What, think of the Chautauqua, did they have it in a tent?
Oh, yes, great big tent and chairs. And everybody just smothering to death in a family like mad.
Do you remember any of the people that came through?
No, offhand I don't. No, I really don't.
That would have been about what years?
Oh, that would have been early 20s or late 19, something along in there.
Do you have any memories of the Depression that stick in your mind?
Well, no. We were married, and of course we had three little tiny kids, so That was depression enough, you know. Just the usual thing, but yeah. Nothing in particular. We just didn't buy anything we didn't have to have.
Now, your father was a doctor. I've heard some interesting stories about some of the doctors here in town. You have any?
Not my father.
No, no, but...
I can guarantee you that.
Yeah,
really good well, they're the ones that rule.
They rule the town?
You're right, the county, the politics of the town.
They did. About how many doctors were there in those days?
Well, I remember from the Enterprise, oh, we had 9 or 10 of them, probably, or more.
And the hospital with Mrs. Kelly, did she run it?
Yes,
Who actually started it, do you know?
No, I don't recall who actually started. That's my first recollection of it, is that she was running the hospital. And my father being a doctor, I expect that's the only reason I remember that part of it. And it was there then until my father and Dr. Hollis and Dr. Bisbee and Dr. Williams organized a clinic and went into the building now occupied by Shoemaker Funeral. And it was called the Bristol Clinic. And they were there several years. Then they built just across the street, east of the American Legion Hut, they built the Bristol Clinic and Hospital. It was the first new hospital they ever had. And they ran that for, oh, I don't know how many years, as the Bristol Clinic and Hospital. And then Bristol began to get bigger, and the need was there for more hospitalization and better care, more a graduate nurse, for instance, and things like that. So then, John Collins was really instrumental. John Collins in starting, as I recall, the movement for the hospital ahead, Bristol Memorial Hospital. But the need was there, definitely. And my father and the three partners dissolved up in years and sold out to the Sisler and Clark doctors. Came here from Tulsa. Dr. Jess Sisler is still in Tulsa, one of the young boys. And,
Well, have there been any particularly exciting or amusing things in Bristol that I haven't asked about that you remember? Things that happened to you or that you saw?
I don't think so. My mother and family were very much involved in the Methodist Church, and I have grown up in the churches and have been familiar with all of them here in Bristol and watched their growth and their organization. The first brick church, first church we had in Bristol was the First Christian Church, and it was over on East 9th Street. And the little church that sits down here next to the new City Hall was one of the original. It's been used by several different congregations. The Catholic used it, the Presbyterians used it, and the Christian Science have it now.
Have you been aware of any anti-Catholic feelings in Bristow in your life here?
I don't think so particularly. There has been some, I think. As I can recall now, I'm not saying it's true, but as I recall, most of the Catholic people were the, what we call Syrians then, but they call themselves Lebanese now, came into Bristol. See, Joel and Ed and Yusuf Abraham, the three brothers, came to Bristol, and of course they were all Catholic. And I believe that's my first memory of that. And then of course, as other people moved in, people from back east in the oil, a lot of those people were Catholic. So it changed from being a predominantly foreign-born people to more like it is today, both groups, you know.
Sure. Have there been any major controversies in Bristol that you remember? Things like arguments over whether to pave the streets or whether to build a new city hall, or has there been anything that's been really controversial in the city?
I don't think of anything, really. I think we've done pretty well through the years without any big fights over anything. Do you remember anything?